Tonight I would like to offer to you of what Buddhism has to offer. Buddhism makes you see things as they are with your own experience, with your own investigation. So by seeing that, where the problem is coming from, you know, what are the root causes, then it reveals the answer itself. So that way we can somehow practice to be able to follow that path, because it's not easy for the mind suddenly to become calm and peaceful, and then no anger, etc. When you are going through life, the intensity of the feelings and emotion coming inside is going to bursting, and then you're steaming. In that situation, even though you have seen the problems, even though you have seen the path, it is hard to practice. That's why Buddhism is to cultivate. When I say cultivate, mean it doesn't come automatically. We're not born with these. We have to practice, we have to cultivate them to be the people, to be the persons who sees, who knows, who understands, as well as who practice, to acquire the skills and strength and ability to walk on this path. Otherwise, these are the words we hear. Nothing more than that. We like it. Oh, that word sounds very good and truthful, etc., so on and so forth. But we can't practice it because we haven't strengthened our minds. We haven't cultivated to a level, a required level, that we can function, you know, what Buddha has suggested according to his, you know, teachings. So life as we know is not easy. Life as we know is hard, and through that we are going with our mind that is restless, mind that is not trained, half trained, a little bit trained, partially trained, and can't do it. It won't work, right? Laughing and, you know, joking all the way, but the actual problems won't go away, because we haven't deeply practiced it. So what happens when we deeply practice it? We'll be like old people, motionless, feelings of emotions and nothing, you know, no feelings, no emotions, like stones, like water, and then boring sort of things. Is that like that when you practice deeply? Or when you practice deeply, you become lively. You become much more happier, and you're still eating the same food, but with wisdom. You're still having the same friends, but with wisdom. You're still driving those cars, you're still working in that place, but with wisdom. That's a difference, right? So Buddha said, you know, when things are rising, then again they cease. Happiness lies in tranquilizing them. So it is easy, isn't it? When they rise, when they fall, okay, we see that. When they rise, they have to fall. And then happiness as well, when they arise, when problems and this and that arise, you know, then we tranquilize them. Easy, isn't it? To tranquilize them, what do? We have to have this ability to be able to forgive. Ability to be able to quench this fire inside, that burning emotions and feelings. Do we have that ability? Ability to have a mind that is neutral, not seeing from our side, which is ego, not seeing from other side, which can be demanding, but seeing the truth and finding a path to bring people together, to harmonize. Not to push people away, not for us to win, not to let them win, but to find a ground that we can all be happy with. And who we are talking about here? We are talking about the people that is close to us. Our partners, our parents, our sisters, brothers, friends, relatives. and people that we work with, these are the people we know, but mainly the families, relatives, that's where most of the traumatic emotions and feelings can come from. Mainly partnerships we have, if we have partners, what I want, what they want, what they want, demanding, and what I'm not willing to give. These are the problems in life that coming up all the time. And Buddha saw that. Buddha means, the words Buddha mean the one who knows, the one who has seen it. So he has seen all these arising and falling of emotions and feelings. People are, you know, doing these things, having problems, unhappy, difficulties. He's seen it. So what he is suggesting is, when a problem arises, right, know the nature of impermanent. It will rise, whatever has arisen, then again they cease. So whatever is there, it's not a permanent thing. Number one, know that. They will arise, then they fall, Buddha said. So the emotions and feelings that we are having inside now is also not permanent. Oh, I'm so angry now, I'm so disappointed, I can't agree with it. And then all the words that come out from us, all the actions that come out from us are very harsh, very unkind, very unforgiving. And through that frame of mind, and through those emotions and feelings, we say things, we acted things, and that we regret later on, isn't it? We hurt ourselves, we hurt other people. Why there? Because we have no wisdom of knowing that these emotions and feelings are also subject to arising and ceasing. We haven't got it deeply inside. We heard this, yes, we heard this, but it hasn't gone sinking deeply inside because the practice is not there. So that's where meditation comes in. Without meditation, it's very hard to practice. You may be able to go to a certain level, certain degree, but there's a breaking point. But with meditation, there's no breaking point. You can go all the way through. You meditate, breathing in, breathing out. What does it do? It calms the mind. And through the mind that is calm, you see the things happening. Realization, it's called, that what breath that coming in can't stay forever, that breath has to go out, and another one comes in, changing nature of things, constantly changing. That's what we see. And then we don't move, we sit very still, and then itches here, itches there, you want to scratch it, you know, you want to move, you want to change your body position. These are the things that influencing our mind. The mind is subject to these things, the mind that is restless. But when you practice an understanding that whatever is arisen has to cease as well, you know that that itch, that uncomfortable position, you just watch and meditate, you know, it will go away. Challenge it, you have to challenge it. That itch, will it really go away? Or it'll be there forever, you know, during the period of my meditation, you challenge it. And it will go, and then that itch will disappear. Another itch will come up. We are sitting on these chairs now, but the actual meditation is sitting cross-legged on the floor. After, if you are a new person, after 5-10 minutes, the joints are aching and the muscles are screaming, isn't it? Then you have to challenge it. Will it stay forever, or will it change? Because Buddha said, you know, impermanent nature of things, things are changing. So this is to test it, as well as practicing endurance. You can endure it in life. Once you are able to endure these situations, whatever little trivial things in life, you don't worry anymore. You can endure it. Endurance training as well. Then you realize that, oh, that aches and that pains are also not permanent. The more pain you have, I suggest to people, is the more you concentrate on your breathing. The more you concentrate on your breathing, the less pain you have. You're living in a different realm up above there, where the pains and everything's are going on there underneath. It's not that you don't know, you're aware, but it doesn't affect you, isn't it? Look at Professor Stephen Hawking. The body is pain and, you know, can't do anything, but it can't reach his mind where it stays in one spot that is deeply concentrated and peaceful. Meditation is like that. You stay in that spot where the pain can't reach you. So when problems arise now, people are talking verbally rude and harsh, and our partners are demanding, screaming and yelling like that, isn't it? When you have that endurance, when you have that meditation, your mind is peaceful and calm. You close your eyes for a little while, you say breathing in, breathing out. Or even if you don't close your eyes, you pause for a moment, breathing in, breathing out. And all these wisdoms come up through this calmness. And then you handle it differently. You don't shout back, you don't, you know, scream back. You just say, have a seat. You want a kappa? I'll make you a kappa. And see, listen carefully what they're really saying. Where's the root? And once you see that, you know, then you assess, can I give that? And practicing Buddhism is also renunciation and generosity, right? Now they are saying they want to go to Pizza Hut tonight, and you want to go to the Chinese restaurant, and you start shouting and quarreling. They said they want pizza, you said you want Chinese food. So you start seeing, and then you say, okay, let's go to the Pizza Hut. That is, you renounce your own, you know, desires and wishes. Generosity, you let them, make them happy. And you try to enjoy the pizza. That's how level of understanding has arisen. The wisdom has arisen. How to make harmony, how to make peace. When you say, okay, you agree to them and make them happy, next time you want Chinese, then they will come to the Chinese food. Like that, life is like that. But if you clash head on, then starting from those little things, they're not big things, little things starting, and one day, the accumulated negativities between two people, you know, come to a boiling point, and then hatred, anger, bitterness, and people have to suffer all the consequences. It's not worth it. By not seeing, by not knowing, we did those things, isn't it? So if you can see this, then you see how important it is to keep our mind calm and peaceful. Not to surrender, but to see the depth of the problem. To be able to investigate into the problems deeply with this calm and peaceful mind. See how important it is. So by meditation you can achieve that. And life is not all about what we want. Life is all about what we want, as in the family. What everybody wants and our wants, desires as well. We try to bring them together to compromise and achieve a common ground, harmony, that is happiness, according to Buddhism. Okay, New Year's approaching now, very close. What is a New Year resolution? To make us happy, what do we need to do? Make the mind calm and peaceful, grow wisdom through this. And then not being selfish, that means not being egoistic. Try to compromise, listen to everyone's wishes and desires. Bring them together with wisdom in a common ground. Together, all happy and laughing and harmony. That is happiness, and that is our New Year resolution. If we do that throughout the whole year, we'll be happy. If you want happiness, that's what we should do. And I encourage you next year and from now on to next year to be happy, and throughout the year, happiness, may happiness follow all of you. Thank you.
think so.
Thank you.